Welcome, and I want to thank Rock, our wonderful engineer, and Kathleen Stevenson, the morning news and public affairs director. Thank you all. Everybody, let's talk the TPP. Everybody, let's talk the TPP. Until we know how bad this agreement will be, we're going to have to stop the TPP. Genetically modified food.
And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is 10 o'clock on your Thursday morning. In about an hour from now, on Between the Covers, the guest is local author Rainer Ward, who discusses his new novel, Advent, the story of a young man instrumental in expanding the psychedelic drug revolution. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, comics journalist extraordinaire and occasional Portlander Joe Sacco speaks with host S.W. Concer about his new project, The Great War, a 24-foot-long panorama depicting the first day of the Battle of the Somme. That's all coming up this morning, but first, Air Cascadia is off today, and we'll be going straight to Flashpoints, featuring a look at homeless fighting eviction in Albany, California, and an interview with Nora Barrows-Friedman about torture victims in Israeli-occupied Palestine. That's coming right up. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support in our recent membership drive. You make KBOO possible.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to help co-sponsor the Triangle production of American Fiesta, starring Gary Wayne Cash, a witty, hopeful tale of imperfection and acceptance. American Fiesta will take place at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. This Triangle production will run from November 29th through December 22nd. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Today on Flashpoints, the homeless fight eviction with a major lawsuit on behalf of residents of the Albany Bulb, that's Albany, California, also treating torture victims in Israeli-occupied Palestine. We'll have that from the electronic intifada.net with Nora Barrows-Friedman. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. Later on in the broadcast, some really important material about the nature of treatment of Palestinians under Israeli confinement. And we're talking about sort of an endless process of arrest and torture, and this includes children. Nora Barrows-Friedman, later on this broadcast, you'll hear her on the electronic intifada.net talking about torture with a doctor who treats the victims of such torture. And, it's a story that you're never going to hear anywhere else, and we're going to stay on it. So I want you to stay tuned for that. Right now, though, we're going to spend some time talking about homeless. And the homeless, we broadcast here from the Bay Area. We're in Berkeley. The next town over is Albany. And there's a place, if you're living in Utah, you probably never heard of it, called the Albany Bulb. But what's happening there is happening in so many places against people who continue to be extensively being marginalized. And joining us now is our good friend Ocean Newman of the East Bay Community Law Center. I'm asking you to put those on because we're going to see if we have a guest on the phone who is living this on the front line. I'm going to ask you to introduce them in a second, Ocean, but step into the mic. It's good to have you back. It's always great to see you.
Likewise.
And I never see you often enough, and usually it's in times of great struggle, but of course, this is what we do. Tell us, just explain for people who don't have the slightest idea what the Albany Bulb is and who lives there. Set the scene.
The Albany Bulb is the tip of a landfill, closed landfill, that's gotten overgrown with all kinds of vegetation and is a little bit wild. It's one of the last sort of wild places on the San Francisco Bay. It's the tip of a peninsula that sticks out there. When you're there, you can have a view of the entire bay, the San Francisco. It's it has been a place which for 20 years or so has been a home for people who otherwise don't have any homes. A place where they've developed a community.
Sort of a beautiful place.
Well, they have shacks with million-dollar views, which I think probably is one of the reasons why people want to get them out of there.
Didn't I see you?
I've made a lot of art out there. Yeah. It's one of the, because it's a wild place, because it's a place where the jurisdiction of the state is kind of run out, where there is permission. And
what does that mean, the jurisdiction?
Well, it means that for many, many years, Albany just sort of let it be, left it alone. They knew that homeless people have been living there. They encouraged them to be there. They let the police come by and look at it all the time. And it's a place where, for example, I make art. I was able to make these large sort of monumental sculptures out of the materials there without having to go through a design review process and, you know, a committee and so on and so forth. I could do what I want. It's a place where all kinds of activities happen. People come and play music. People walk their dogs. People bicycle. It's a place where dogs can run off-leash. It's sort of an off-leash place. Off-leash art, off-leash people. Off-leash dogs and so on. And
for that reason, it is a special. I'm asking you to talk about it because I have spent a bunch of time there, and it has a spirit of its own, you know. And I've never felt afraid there either. So
it's a place where there's a coexistence, a community. It's sort of a working anarchy that includes the animals, the plants, the people, all kinds of people, including the people that we call homeless. And yes, there are many people who love it for that very reason, for the fact that it's a place where you can wander around and get lost a little bit. There's a trail without a trail sign that telling you this is what you should be looking at and this is where you're going. You get to kind of find that by yourself. And so it is very remarkable in that way. And it's remarkable because it is the only place in the Bay Area where this kind of large community of homeless people can live and survive and be left alone and not be hassled and develop relations and have a level of privacy in their homes and build homes that reflect them and landscape around their homes and so on and so forth. And all of that is now threatened.
In jeopardy.
Everything. I mean, certainly the key to it, in some way, is that the people have been living there, and the people who are living there, in some way, the keystone species for that place. Because once they go, Albany is going to move to transfer the place, which is now in their jurisdiction, to the state for incorporation into a state park. Now, we all like state parks, but in this case, what it means is essentially going to turn it into a kind of a cookie-cutter place where they're going to get rid of all the vegetation. All the vegetation grew up there sort of on its own. Nobody planted it. Nobody planned it. And it's remarkable just in that. And it's an example of how nature reclaims what we throw away and destroy all the rubble, which is what it was. It was rubble, rebar, concrete. And nature just sort of began, you know, dirt that was dumped there and little seeds that were in the dirt began to come up and birds defecated seeds and they grew. And now you have this beautiful place. But it doesn't look like a park and it's not controlled. And so the people have to go. The art has to go. the dogs will not be able to run off leash and will become like all those other places, which are, you know, their vision of the way nature should be, which is tamed, controlled, easily.
10 green bark park benches and sliding pond.
All of that. That's right. So that you can recreate there if you're young and athletic and can ride bikes and so on and so forth. But the particular values that that place represents, that's going to be gone. They just can't get it. They can't allow it to go on in this way. And they are militant in destroying all the beauty and all the humanity that's there. And that's what we're fighting about. And that's why we've filed a lawsuit, at least to slow them down in that.
And let me say also that we haven't been able to reach your guest yet. We'll keep trying because we want to see if we can bring some other folks in who are going to be impacted. Well, did I say you're a lawyer and you know a lot about the legal side of this? The actions, say a little bit more about the actions that the authorities are taking that will so marginalize these folks as to really run them out of town.
Oh, it's not just marginalizing. They are going to run them out of town. And that's really, and they're going to do it in the middle of winter, as winter is coming on, as the rainy season, assuming we have a rainy season, which I'm hoping, assuming that, I mean, it's hard to know that anymore. As soon as, when the rains and the cold in the winter, they're going to basically kick them out. They're going to destroy their homes. They're going to take their belongings, you know, supposedly store them, though many have been lost. And they are providing in exchange these, if you look at them, they're horrible, these rectangular portables, these two portables, you know, institutional portables. They're about 60 people, between 50 and 60 people there. They're 30 beds, bunk beds. In the
portables.
In these portables.
So half the people have to go out.
Half the people can't go out. They'll be there for 6 months. And they are, in fact, inaccessible to the vast majority of people. There are people there. They're partly there because they have, you know, they don't fit into institutions. You know, this is a place where they've been able to be kind of wild and scream at night and have their dogs nestling up against them. Yeah. You know, all of that. You know, to live with who they want to live. None of that's going to be possible. They're going to be in there, this institutionalized place, kicked out, you know, during the day. It's crazy. It's not going to work. And so what is going to happen is all those people are going to have to leave Albany, because what Albany is going to do is start enforcing a set of its laws, which essentially make it illegal to live in that town. If you're homeless, it'll make it illegal to lie down at night in some place and go to sleep. It'll make it illegal in the cold to crawl into a sleeping bag. It will make it illegal to put up a little tent over you to shelter you when the weather turns. All of that is going to be not permitted. So people are going to have to leave town. And Albany, essentially, it's like the leaf blower approach to homelessness. You know, we got a pile of homeless people. Let's blow them out of here.
Blow them to the next
town. Yeah, blow them to the next town, which is, of course, doesn't have room for them either. Right. That's essentially where we're at and what we're trying to prevent Albany from doing.
You know, I'm thinking about this as you're talking about it. And as I said, I know this place. And it really is. This is the Bay Area, so I can say this even as a serious investigative reporter. There really is a spiritual part of this place that has survived outside of the freeways and and the big hotels and all that kind of stuff. And I know I can ask you this question. What does it say? What will this say? If we, supposedly the progressive capital of the country, take this kind of action against a group of people who should be very important to us and as a part of our community, maybe we can even be proud that we are varied in our numbers?
You know, you say progressive, and I know we are compared with a lot of the country, but I often feel that we are progressive in inverse proportion to the closeness of the issue. So we're very good about polar bears, we're very good about Darfur or whatever, but when it comes to the homeless person on your doorstep, then all of a sudden, you know, we're less good, or some of us are less good, or the people or the policymakers are less good. And this is an example of that. It's an example of a kind of a short-sightedness, of not seeing what really is of value here. And it's, you know, it links to so many issues. If you look down from a satellite, or if you, you know, when these satellite views of the Earth at night, Albany would be lit up. Berkeley would be lit up, but the bulb would be dark. You know, it is a place where if you're talking about how to live on the planet, people are living on the planet in a way that the planet needs to be lived on now, and we don't appreciate it. In fact, it's dangerous because we have these other uses. It's a lot like an example of, I mean, this, you know, this slum clearance happens all over the world. You know, well, here's this favela, here's this, where poor people are living in shacks with tin roofs, and we want to build a stadium, or we want to make it a park. That's essentially what is happening here.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My guest is attorney Ocean Newman. I keep wanting to say, this is the oddest thing, I keep wanting to say Noah, because I keep thinking about the ark and the water and, you know, like how these people really need a bridge or somehow they need something to be able to stay, to stay where they are.
I think we need them to stay where they are. I mean, they definitely need it. I feel I need it to stay. I mean, this is personal for me. Because I've loved this place, and I know it's going to go.
Well, we've got, you want to tell us who, we've got